Now notice the third seal. And I'm reading again my translation, follow the authorized, friends. That's the best translation, and I sure wouldn't recommend mine. Listen to this. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, go. And I saw. He says here, he saw. Just want to make sure we knew that. This is television. And I saw, and behold, a black horse. And the one sitting on him, having a balance, that is, scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a conix, that is, a quart of wheat, for a denarius, and three conix, that is, three quarts of barley, for a denarius, and do not hurt the oil and the wine. Now, the color of the black horse speaks of mourning. And you'll find that's used in the Old Testament. I don't want to take time to look it up, but if you turn to Jeremiah 4:28, Malachi 3:14, you'd read there, mournfully in black. And then it also speaks of famine. And you find that in a little book of the Bible that Jeremiah wrote. We call it Lamentations. And in the fourth chapter of Lamentations, and I'll turn there, I read in verse 8, their visage is blacker than a coal. They're known in the streets. Their skin cleaveth to their bones. It's withered. It is become like a stick. They that be slain with the sword are better than they that be slain with hunger. For these pine away, stricken through for want of the fruits of the field. It speaks of famine. The black horse speaks of the famine that's coming on the earth, a worldwide famine. And that is the picture of it. And always in war, after war and during a war, there's a shortage of foodstuffs. Now, let us look at this for just a moment. The Greek historian Herodotus says that the conix, the quart of corn, was a soldier's daily supply of food. And a denarius was a day's wage, so that a working man would be unable to support his family in that day. He'd have enough for himself as a soldier, but he couldn't support his family. Now, the oil and the wine are luxuries that are enjoyed by the rich. They get all the liquor they want, even in the time of war. Oil would correspond to our toiletries, to the beauty aids and the body conditioners and all that is used today. That is the luxuries of life. Now, the wine corresponds to the liquor that will be in abundance. Now, isn't it interesting? There's not enough food stuff, not enough barley, but there's enough barley to make liquor. And they will make it in that day, and the rich are the ones that get it. Now, let's be very frank today. During World War II, the rich, for the most part, they were able to get meat. They were able to get the luxuries of life. I happen to know of some that have told me, a very wealthy man told me that he never missed getting a big T-bone steak any time that he wanted it. Well, I can remember, friends, I got so tired of eating tongue, that is the only thing you remember that you didn't have to have a blue chip stamp to get. It was not something that was rationed. And I got so tired of eating tongue during that period. And I think of the fact that in this day that's coming, the thing won't change. The rich are going to get theirs, friends. But the poor won't be able to get theirs. And that's the way that it's been. I feel like saying ho-hum when I hear all of these sincere, egg-headed boys talking about how they're going to work out the poverty problem. And all that it has done, it's given a good job to a lot of these boys. But so far, it hasn't filtered down and has not really been a blessing to the poor yet and has never helped them to lift themselves up with any degree of pride. Why? Because, my friend, the only one that can lift you up is Jesus Christ. And none of these egg-headed boys are able to do it. Now, I'm sorry to have to say that, but somebody needs to speak out today against all of this tomfoolery that our government is going through and the waste and spending of money today. All that it does is just create another bureaucracy, and it saps up our tax dollar today. My, this sort of thing is abroad today. But just think what it's going to be in that day. This we're talking about is future. The only reason I make application today is to show that this is not unreasonable. It's going to take place. Now, it was way back in 1798 that the Reverend Thomas Malthus concluded that the power of population is indefinitely greater than the power of the earth to produce subsistence for man. And he made a prediction that there would come a time there'd be worldwide famine. And again, if I might quote Toynbee, sooner or later, food production will reach its limit. And then, if population is still increasing, famine will do the execution that was done in the past by famine, pestilence, and war combined. And Sir John David Orr, who was the Director General of the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization, when he was in that office, he warned. He says, "I shall finish my office by giving a last warning to the world. If it's not solved, there will be world chaos in the next 50 years. The nations of the world are insane." That's his statement, not mine. And someone has made the statement, there are today 750 million people getting hungrier in countries bordering the communist sphere. And this thing is growing. Famine always follows war.